full name and ADC number for the record, please?
Vernon Valentino Ward Jr., 098294.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency this afternoon in reference to parole hearing.
Yes, sir.
Board members that will conduct a hearing at this time. We have the Honorable Bill Rittenhouse, the Honorable Michael Johnson, the Honorable Lincoln Ellis, and my name is David Gill. I'll be the hearing leader.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to go over some information about you and the offenses that got you where you're at today. And then we'll go into some question and answer session. Okay, sir?
Yes, sir.
And if I go through this, if you hear something that's incorrect, let me know and we'll talk about it.
Okay, sir.
And every so often I'll verify with you that it sounds fair and correct. So you're 61 years of age currently, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, 61.
Okay, you're serving a 10-year sentence for attempted sexual conduct with a minor, which began May 27, 2014. You will become parole eligible on June 26, 2019. You were certified for this hearing for regular parole home life or absolute discharge on January 26, 2019.
Yes.
Okay. So you had one appearance before the board, but it was for a prior matter. This offense stems from probation violation revocation. You served a 17 3/4 year sentence for molestation of a child and then started serving a lifetime probation for count number 13 in that offense.
Yeah, it was for attempt.
Right, they turned down to an attempt. With the lifetime probation.
Right. I served almost 4 years on probation. 3 years and some months.
Okay. Let's see. And so you had repeated violations and finally your probation was revoked and you were sentenced to 10 years for this sentence. So originally you were convicted of several charges with based on allegations you arrested your two stepdaughters, 11 and 8 years old at the time, I guess, of when they brought it forward.
You were 93 and 92? Yeah,
and they were originally indicted on 14 counts, you were convicted of 12. That's the first time true.
True.
Your original trial was declared a mistrial, and the jury in the second trial convicted you of those charges, and it resulted in 230 years of sentences. Vacated, and then to avoid the possibility that will happen again, you signed a plea agreement for 17 and a half years. For molestation of a child, which was count one, and for count 13 was lifetime probation. And all the other counts were dismissed.
Yeah, what happened was they overturned my case because of a corrupt police officer.
Right.
She lied in my trial, and and after serving 9 years on a 237-year sentence, I didn't trust them to go back to trial.
Right.
So I signed it, and they said that it was going to be time served, and they scratched it out and made it flat time.
Okay, well, that part of it I don't know. You know that you were sentenced to, you took the plea for the 17 3/4 years.
Right.
And the lifetime probation on the other count, everything else was dismissed. So you had probation violations for drug use, changing your address without permission, associating with a known felon, and a sexual relationship with women who had children under the age of 18, and associating with a woman who was engaging in criminal activities.
Yes, she had driver's license was expired.
Okay, well, she was engaging in the considered criminal activities and there were some other violations in there. So that's what got your probation revoked and your sentence to this current 10-year sentence. And so let's see. So it looks like since you back in on since you were incarcerated on this probation violation, you have two tickets. And one was major for possession of drugs on
spice. Yes, an inmate gave me some, sir. Gave me some spice.
Excuse me, sir. I'll give you an opportunity to speak in a minute, okay?
All right. Yes, sir.
Okay. You a major for possession of drugs, which was April 23rd of 2018, and a minor for disrupting count on September 25th, 2018. So, what did you want to say about those discipline tickets?
Yeah, MA gave me some spice, and when he gave it to me, I should have took it, but I ended up having it when they came in, and I didn't deny that someone had gave it to me. They gave me a UA. They found out that I was clean. I hadn't smoked nothing on my UA was clean, and it was just a dumb mistake. He never even took it from him. And then the ticket for disrupting count, my bed where I stay at is like 3 feet from the microwave. I just reached over and cut the microwave off, and the dude he didn't even tell me I was gonna report or nothing. And then they say, well, I disrupted the count by leaning over a couple of feet. So, you know, as you can see, if you look at my whole my ticket situation since I've been down, I only had one ticket, and then I got these two at the end right here, and the whole 22.5 years I've been down.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't get in trouble here.
Well, but those tickets are less than a year old, so.
I just got these tickets right here, these last two. Like I said, it was stupid of me. I never should have took the spice from the guy when he offered it to me.
That's
you know what I mean? But I didn't smoke it or nothing, and they give you a UA.
But you knew it was an illegal substance, and you took it from him, and you had it in your possession.
Well, when he gave it, I knew it was something that wasn't legal for me to have, because the dude snuck it to me. So you're absolutely right. I own up to that.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I took the classes. I took the joint class. I took the bigger for a change class. Afterwards, they told me to take those classes, and then we get that off of my record where I can get my time.
So it seems like you've had some programming during this incarceration, like 8 classes, including ones in this class. There's no record in any sex offender programs while you were incarcerated. However, it does say that once you've been on probation, that you completed your introduction to sex offense treatment and participating in that in that program, so that's good.
When I violated my probation, I didn't come back on new charges. I was having a lot of problems with my PO, and she was, I don't know how to say it, but she was just out to get me. Because like when I had violated my parole,
sir.
Yeah.
You had a hearing in front of the judge, and the judge revoked the probation. The PO didn't do that.
Right. I agree with you.
Okay, so you had an opportunity to tell the judge about your issues with your PO, and I'm sure that if you explained those to the judge, you took them into consideration, okay? And you did have numerous violations, some of which wouldn't be attributable to the problems with the PO, they're only attributable to your bad judgment, okay? And there's a lot of them. So I'm finding support. Whether there's nobody here on your behalf today, but I also don't have any opposition letter.
So I asked my boss to send in a letter to the board, but I don't know if he knew where to send it at.
Okay, well, if you're going to have somebody send letters, tell them to send it to the Arizona Board of Executive Incumbency, and the address is in the phone book and easily obtainable, so you don't have to write it down now, don't have it, it's easy to find, okay?
Yeah.
And you can, if you forget the name of the board, you're...
Oh, I know now, you just told me the Board of Incumbency.
Right, but you might, if you forget that, you can, the CO3 can help you remember what the name of the board is, okay? So then, if you have somebody send some letters, then that would be the best way to do it. All right, so without going back over all the original prime and everything, I think what I'd like to do is, you know, concentrate on the fact that your probation was violated and that you're back in on a 10-year sentence. I'd like for you to, if you can, explain to me why you couldn't follow the rules of probation. It's not like you missed a curfew or something, you know, you're associating with people that you know or felonies, your conditions is you can't have a sexual relationship with a woman that has children under the age of 18, and that, you know, that's a pretty obvious thing.
Can I address each one of them one at a time?
Yes, sir.
Please?
Yes, sir.
Okay. The one that associated with a known felon, they put you down here on Van Buren, and that's where you gotta live. Everybody in the apartment complex are known felons. You know what I mean? They put you in a bad area, in a drug-infested area, where there's nothing but drug addicts and prostitutes. And then if you have to communicate with people that stay around there. And when the lady, when my PO came over, and there was a young lady over my house, and she was like, I don't know, 40 years old, and she asked the young lady, do you know he's a SO? And the young lady said, yes, he stays right next door to me. She said, well, have you ever been in prison? Are you a felon or probation? And the lady said that she had been in prison before. And I did not know that. When I met her, I did not ask her, are you a felon or are you this or that? And it was just a conversation we was having, and that's all that was. I had a chance when I was in court to argue my situation about my PO just having something against me. But she would write me up for everything. She wrote me up for answering the door without a shirt on, and I didn't even open the door. You know what I mean? And so I just cracked the door and I said, who is it? And then she said, it's your PO. And I said, well, hold on, let me put my shirt on. She didn't even know I didn't have a shirt on until I told her. She wrote me up for that. When she wrote me up for moving without permission, I was standing in the outreach program. The guy that ran the outreach program got arrested. And then when he got arrested, they asked me, say, was that his book bag in your car? And I said, that's his book bag. And he took, well, anyway, he ended up getting mad. He ended up telling the manager kicks me out. Okay, I call my PO. Nobody answers the phone. So I sleep outside in my car, outside the outreach program. The next morning, I call again. I talked to one of her associates. She said, go ahead on, and you can stay in the motel until, you know, you talk to your PO. She writes me up for that. You know, so everything that, and now some things were my fault. I'm not disputing that I had did some drugs before. I told my PO about it. When I went to class, we have classes, and we talked about it, and my PO let it go. She said, okay, I'm going to put you in the class. So she put me in the class. I was fine. I was doing fine. I started I started my own business. I started subcontracting. I had 10 guys working for me. You know what I mean? When I was arrested, the judge even said, "Mr. Ward, you're doing excellent with the things that you want to do, but there's some things that you're not doing." He gave me a chance to talk about some of this stuff, but then he just said, "Well, I just think it's best that you go ahead and kill it, the number." And I mean, he told me he was only going to be, I was sentenced to 5 years. He said you only have to do 10. I was sentenced to 10. I only have to do 5 because I'm up under the old code. And I said, "Well, fine then." But I didn't even want to argue with him about going back on probation again. Okay.
The thing is, you weren't violated for any one thing. You were violated for several things. And although the PL may have let the let it go with the drug use initially, it was she gave you another chance. And then you did something else wrong, and then you did something else wrong, and then any one of these things were sufficient for your PO to have violated you, and sufficient for a judge to revoke you. So, you know, she had all this stuff that they have to keep the file, and when it came down to the end, you just took way too many second chances. And when it was written up, all the stuff over a period of time was put in there, and because it shows a pattern of you just said the judge told you some things you're doing great on, but other things you just didn't seem to want to follow the rules, and that's why he wrote you and put you back in jail.
Exactly, that's exactly what he said.
Okay, so.
And I own up to my part, you know what I mean?
Okay.
I think it shouldn't have been just the negative things. It should have been also the positive things that I was doing too.
Let's go back to the beginning. You had 14 charges against you initially, and only two of them were new trial. Only two of them you weren't convicted of. Having to do with sexual contact with a minor and everything else, and I happen to be familiar with that detective you're talking about.
Detective Jerry Wilson?
Yes, sir. Although I'm not familiar with your case specifically, I do know that she lost her job over that. Well, initially.
Yeah, because she went...
Sir?
Okay. I'm sorry about that.
She may have lost her job because she lied, but it didn't alleviate the majority of those charges. Didn't disappear, the crimes occurred. It's just that her integrity was compromised in court, and that's why most of that was put out. But you even said that you didn't want to test another trial. So, to that, you were given probation, okay? You had one sentence and a probation, and that probation was more than a second chance. And you went out, and you violated, and you revoked. So, every time you had a violation where your PL staffed you on, was another second chance. And pretty soon you run out of second chances. And that's why you were reincarcerated. So I'm just thinking, I thought we were having questions here. Mr. Canales.
Very quickly. Mr. Ward, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I just want to be clear on this because of the way this whole case unfolded and ended ultimately. You serving time inside the Department of Corrections for two felony charges. Did you molest your daughters?
Did I what?
Did you molest your daughters?
Did you molest
your stepdaughters?
Oh, did it happen?
Yes.
Yeah, I inappropriately touched her. Yes, I did.
Okay. And...
Wait.
No, no, go ahead, sir. You're going to say something.
Sir?
Go ahead.
The phone keep clicking in and out. Hello?
Okay. Can you hear me clearly?
Now I can't hear.
Okay. No, I'm not going to ask any further questions. I just wanted to be clear on where you're at because so much information went back and forth, I wasn't sure if you were saying that you didn't do it.
No, no. I made some mistakes earlier in my life, almost 30 years ago. Since I've been out, I had no more problems as far as anything like that. I believe that I made some unhealthy choices, and I had to pay severely for them. And some of the things that they said that I did, the officer lied about, and they found out that it was lying, and they overturned my case. But I never did deny that I did something wrong. You know what I mean? And I'm not going to sit here and lie to you right now just to try to get out of here. You know what I mean? I took classes, and I learned what the triggers were. I learned a lot of things about sexual assault, sexual abuse, what occurs, what triggers it, all that stuff. All the time I was out there, I never reoffended in any kind of way. I never committed any more kind of crimes. I made some poor choices in who I was associated with. And like I said, they put you in an area where that's all it is. Now, I finally got a chance where I work for a development company, and I don't have to stay in those areas no more. You know, I can actually buy a house. I mean, I think that the counselor sent you the information, or either I have it right now with my boss. He's willing to have a job, a place to stay. You know what I mean?
Sir, let me interrupt you. When you mentioned your boss, what were you working again?
I got an email and when I work for a corporation out of Seattle. They are a development corporation. I subcontract. I do electrical carpentry, drywall, roofing, all of that.
Yeah.
So what I do is you know what a subcontractor is.
Yes.
So his name is Eric Anderson. And he also sent a letter to the judge telling him that upon my release, I would have a place to stay, a job, an automobile. When I got locked up, I signed my automobile over to him. And he agreed that that I would have one when I get out. And I have money saved on the street. I got money saved up in here to buy all my tools again and everything. You know what I mean? I have been preparing for this day since day one. You know what I mean? I don't want to be just talking ear off and that like that, but his name is Eric Anderson. I have his phone number right here. You can call him if you want. I have his email address. And I also have the email address to the corporation that is tied into.
Okay, sir. I have no further questions. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Neal. Mr. Ward, when you finish this prison term, will you have to return onto lifetime probation?
Ma'am, because I heard most of it, but I didn't hear the beginning.
When you finish this prison term, will you return onto lifetime probation?
No, I just parole.
Okay, thank you, sir.
That's what I'm here to do is to kill the parole because I was having problems doing it on the street as far as they were concerned. I just about done told y'all all I can. I prepared for this. Do you have any more questions, ma'am? I don't want to just talk you here.
That's okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you,
sir. All right.
Okay, sir. We're nearing the end of your hearing. The board will be going into discussion to make a determination shortly. However, before we do that, we're going to give you an opportunity to make a final statement. Anything else you think the board needs to know, but we're asked to give you all the information we've already covered.
Okay, you know, when they told me that, when I knew that we're getting close to go to the board, I completed every class that they offer here in Kingman. I also did a volunteer class, the victim impact class, and I mean, I just think that that I deserve another chance, you know. I mean, maybe there's something else I could have done, but I mean, I did everything that's possible, you know what I mean? And I'm also, you know, having a lot of problems here while I'm here. I didn't get an operation, a major back operation. They get ready to do, I'm going to therapy all the time, 2 times a week. They do talking about doing a nerve burn and injections in my back. You know what I mean? My medical conditions seem like I'm deteriorating. And if I have to do much longer, I don't even know, you know, I just put it in your hands and in God's hands. You know what I mean? Whatever you think, if there's something else you think I can do when I'm here before I see if you want me to, you know, to stay longer, there's nothing else they offer here. You know what I mean? I'm just staying out of trouble, I guess.
Okay, well, thank you, sir. The board's going to go into discussion, make a determination. We'll be talking amongst ourselves. You may think we're addressing you, but we won't be.
Okay, I understand, sir.
Okay, we'll stay on the phone. Just remain silent, and you can hear the whole conversation, and once we've made a determination, I'll get after you, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, board's now in discussion. That was a very unfortunate situation with Mr. Ward. The legal offense was pretty bad to begin with. Fortunately for him, the dishonest detective kept him from doing 230 years for the crimes. But he ended up with a relatively short sentence compared to what he could have had, and the lifetime probation, but he just couldn't follow all the rules and never go back. And for the 10 years, and I wish the overall circumstances and the totality of it, I don't see Mr. Ward as a good candidate for parole or any kind of release or acting discharge at this time. And I'm willing to listen to discussion from my fellow board members if you need. Ms. Rittenhouse?
I agree with you, Mr. Neal. As Mr. Ward would have been on lifetime probation, and by removing himself from that, he will be free with no supervision on his sentencing date. So I agree with you, Ward. I think he should serve the entire sentence.
Thank you. Any other comments?
I agree.
Okay, based on all the information today, in reference to Mr. Vernon Ward, AUC number 09294, I'm going to move to deny work parole, home arrest for absolute discharge at this time. And the date of the crime will ask for a 1 year set off. That will be my motion.
Second.
Grant. Motion by myself, second by Mr. Canomas, agreed by Mr. Johnson and Ms. Rittenhouse. And the reason would be that it was a serious and immediate offense, trauma to the victim, age of the victim, for multiple victims, victim harassment, and he violated the probation. Recent disciplinary infractions. No real release plan at this time. No family community support. Anything else that anybody on the board would like to add to that? No. Okay, Mr. Ward, The board has voted unanimously to deny you Roe Home Rush absolute discharge at this time. And you heard the reasons for that denial?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And so approximately a year, the Department of Corrections will certify you again to come before the board. And we'll see you at that time, and...
Is there anything I can do to improve my chances, or I'm going to have to do the whole thing, because I maxed out at 65% according to the old code. So in 6.5 years, I'll just max out. So that's what I'm looking at, right?
Well, I don't know what the time clock is on it. I know that you have...
I know what it is.
And in a year, if you haven't maxed out your time, you'll be certified to come in front of the board again.
Yeah, but is there anything that the board can tell me that I need to do to improve my chances of getting my board?
No, there's nothing really. I can tell you that we'll do that. Every time you appear, we have to take the circumstances that there are at that time. We recommend that you just, behave. Keep doing what you're doing, but try not to get any more tickets. And that's about the only thing I can do.
Okay. So the one I got, the board I got in June, that won't happen?
What's that now?
I got four different board dates. That one, I got another one in June. Will that happen?
I don't know why you would have one in June.
Yes, I'm up under the Oak Court. I got like four different parole dates.
Okay, sir, the crime occurred after July 1st of 1984. Because it did, we have a mechanism to ask for a one-year set-off instead of 6 months, and that's what we've done. So it'll be 12 months before we're eligible again.
Oh, Lord. All right, sir.
All right, so there will be no more discussion. This will be your hearing. And could you please put the seal to the back of the room?
Yeah, I'll let her know that you're ready.